Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Let's pray together, even as we get into God's Word. Now, God, I pray that the next couple of minutes will be transformational. Because your Word to us brings life. And I pray that may this Word challenge every mindset that does not align with your idea of how we ought to relate one with another. And not only should it challenge us, may we receive this Word, and may this Word bring fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I do pray, and everybody said amen. Today, we are concluding a series we've been going through, someone's series for the last couple of weeks that we called Rooted in Christ. And we began teaching this series because we want you as followers of Jesus Christ to grow. But also we knew after heaven's gates and hell's flames, there's many people who'd come to Christ, wanted them to be rooted in Christ from the onset. But as much as these messages were for those who are new in the faith, they are so relevant for every one of us in this place, because as long as we are alive, God still has some work for us to do. There is fruit for us to develop. And our study book was and is Colossians, and our theme verse is Colossians 2:6-7 that says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him." Now, Apostle Paul was addressing issues that the church at Colossae were facing. There were wrong teachings that were advocating for other ideas on top of Jesus Christ. They were saying that Jesus was not sufficient to save the believers in Christ. And the same is true today. There are wrong teachings all around us that seem to imply that yes, you can get saved, but you need to add to Jesus in order to be completely saved. And Paul says this, no. "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord," how? "By faith, continue to live your lives in Him," and then he uses that key word, "rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." You see, I hear many people say, "Pastor, give us some deep teaching." Let me tell you this. This is deep teaching. You don't need more deep teaching. You only need to go deeper in Christ. Rooted in Christ. Because Jesus is sufficient to save you. In Colossians 1, Paul said that Jesus is supreme. And as long as we embrace Jesus and His teachings and His ways, what happens? We are going to become fruitful in our relationships, in our leadership, in this world. We will be fruitful in our lives. So we need to be rooted and built up in Him, just like a tree that is rooted and planted in rich soil that produces fruit in and out of season. We have been called to dig our roots deep in Jesus every day. That's why I love the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 3. He prays that we may understand the love of Jesus and dig our roots deep in Christ. And he says, we will never fully understand how deep this is. But the more we dig our roots deeper in Christ, the more we develop and mature in Christ. So get deep in Jesus Christ and you will become fruitful. So today, I want to talk about how being rooted in Christ transforms our relationships. Now, why? We are relational beings. We were born in we thrive in relationships. We belong to families. We belong to social groups. We belong to workplaces. We can never do life alone. A couple of years ago, about 2 or 3 years ago, when the world was shut down because of the COVID pandemic, we were able to see how fractured our relationships were. Because for the first time in a long time, we had to be together by force. Husbands didn't know how to talk to wives. Wives did not know how to treat husbands. Children, we were stuck at home and there were many issues. Why? Because we need to live in healthy relationships if we are going to thrive and be fruitful in our lives. Our world today is plagued with a loneliness epidemic, mental health issues. We are plagued by self-centeredness that has led to dysfunction in families, in our workplaces. And you know what? God's desire for you is not for you and I to live in dysfunction. And that is why he invites us to be rooted in Christ so we can belong to families and relationships that are thriving. And when our relationships are transformed, our families, our workplaces, our churches become living testimonies of God's kingdom here on earth. John 13:35, Jesus said this, "By this, everyone," meaning even those who are far from Jesus, "everyone will know that you are my disciples." By what? "If you love one another." When we are rooted in Jesus Christ and we love like Jesus in our relationships, the world is going to say, "These people truly belong to Jesus." Wow, amazing. So you see, your relationship and the health of your relationship is not just for your personal happiness. It is for the way you witness to other people around you. So our text today is Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from the NIV, from verse 12. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of God rule in your relationships. Let the peace of God rule in your families. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And now he brings it down together into these relationships that I'm going to focus on today. Wives, can all the wives say amen to this? Trust me, it's a good thing. Wives, can potential wives say amen as well? All right, if you say amen, you'll get a husband this year. I'm kidding. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, say amen to me. Amen. Potential husbands. Oh, those were like three guys. What happened? Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, and all of us are children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then fathers, can all the fathers say amen? Amen. You stood up your very minute to get a gift, but now I can't hear you. Father, say amen. Amen. That's good. Was that a father? Okay. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves or employees, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when the eye is on you and to carry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart us working for the Lord, not human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is Christ the Lord you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs. And there is no favoritism. Then verse 1, Colossians 4. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Wow, amazing, isn't it? And so this is instructions written by Paul to a church in Colossae. And when I read these are still relevant to us today. Because here Paul is outlining instructions on how to have healthy relationships in these household relationships. And Paul was writing to counter a culture that was ungodly in his day. The Greco-Roman authoritarian culture. He was addressing that with his instructions. And even today as I speak, there are certain cultures that do not align with God's word, and today's word addresses them as well concerning our relationships. And so Paul here addresses husbands and wives. He also addresses children and parents, but also workplace relationships. Now, for a beautiful understanding of this, I've come to learn that actually pictures speak a lot. And I remember when I was a child, when you told me something, I never understood it until you showed it to me. So today, this is Children's Church. And Pastor Marcy, say amen. Let's have an illustration right there. So I have a tree to show you what I want to talk about for the next couple of minutes. Now, through this series, I've used a tree illustration to really communicate the truth of God's word to us. Now, this is a tree that is planted in soil. Now, imagine this tree is who we are, our relationships, everything. That tree must be planted in Christ. The roots must be in Christ. And Colossians 2, 6 to 7, I read it earlier. Remain in Christ, be rooted and built up in Him. Now, when we are rooted and planted in Christ, we are going to be people of love, because we are submitted to Christ in the trunk. And what happens, that influences every branch, every relationship. This love, because we are rooted in Christ, is going to influence our workplace relationship. It's going to influence our family relationships. And it's also going to influence our parenting. And there's going to be fruit on the other side of kindness, compassion, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, that's what I'm going to talk about today. Remain rooted in Christ, so your relationships can be transformed. Now, the first relationship that Paul addresses is the marriage relationship. How many of us are married in this place? Proudly married. Man, this is amazing, huh? It's good. I see online. There are many of you online, right? That's so good. How many of you are happily married? Don't raise your hands. Because your wife might think otherwise, your husband might think otherwise, you know what? But it's okay. How many of you are happily married? Can we clap for these happy couples? Amazing. But I saw some single people raising their hands by faith. Come on. May I say that God formed our relationships. He's the one who formed our relationships, okay? The marriage relationship is God's design. Sin deformed us. But Christ redeems, He transforms our relationships to reflect His original design. So, what is God's design when it comes to relationships that promotes human flourishing, that brings happiness and fruitfulness in your life? Husbands, He says this, and wives. He begins with the wife. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as fitting to the Lord. And then husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now, what was Paul addressing here? A mindset in his day where marriage relationships were male-dominated. It was the man who made all the decisions. And so Paul is saying You were not created to domineer in that relationship. Instead, God is calling you to love. Your leadership should be based on sacrificial love, not domineering. So he's addressing a mindset in his day. And the same is true today. We also live in a culture where male headship is promoted as the only thing that matters. But the Bible and Jesus is saying, as husbands, our responsibility is to lead, and that's okay. But to whom much is given, much is required. Our leadership must be founded on the principle of sacrificial love. It's not about you, it's about the marriage. Because marriage is not a competition of wills to see who wins. And then on the other side, he's saying, wives, submit, not forcefully, yourselves to your husbands as if you're doing it for the Lord. In today's culture, that word submission, some people say it belongs to the old age. That culture is not biblical. If you are going to have a marriage that is going to thrive, we must say no to the culture and the mindsets of the world and say yes to what God says here, where husbands love sacrificially and where wives are going to submit with honor and respect on the other side, where we all come together to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. You see, marriage is not primarily for your happiness. Marriage is for your sanctification and holiness. You know, many people come to marriage because of what they can get out. You gotta be an investor for you to get a return on investment. It's what you give, not what you take out of it. You are a broken person and you get married to another broken person, and both of you come and you want to withdraw from that relationship. What is going to happen? Pain. But God wants you to come in that marriage with a mindset of serving one another like Christ served you and I. And when we serve one another, what's going to be the fruit? Happiness. Holiness. You see, friends, I've been married for 18 years, and I thank God for my wife. She has been used as God's tool for my holiness. I used to think I was holy until I got married. I used to think I was generous until I got married. You go out to eat. I'm like, I just want a salad. So I'm going to have a steak. Do you want a steak? No. A salad. So my steak comes. Her salad shows up. And then she's looking at me. May I have your steak? I'm like, excuse me. I speak on behalf of many husbands. But I'm so grateful for my wife. Because of her, I'm a better person today. I'm more loving than I was 18 years ago because God has used her to help me. Next time she'll be here to tell her story. I can't tell about her sanctification. But marriage is a partnership where we come together to fulfill God's purposes for our lives. So it's not about domineering. It's not about independence. It's about collaboration as we mutually serve one another. Amen. So Christ-centered marriages are about mutual service, not selfish gain. Relationship number two, that Jesus wants to transform as we remain rooted in him. Just as marriage reflects Christ's love, our parenting must mirror God's nurturing heart. Children, obey your parents in everything. Now, Paul is assuming that parents are godly. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And he said, fathers, do not embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. Now, this, I don't have to over-elaborate in the African context. Because our society here in Africa is about respect the elder no matter what they say. And so some of us, if you're honest, when you're younger, when your father showed up at home, you fled in 7 different directions. Because it was no relationship. It was just a functional relationship. But God wants to redeem fathers and our parenting from functional to relational. And so he said, fathers, do not embitter your children. Do not provoke them. Do not over-discipline them. You know, when we were younger, you know, I've learned a lot in my almost 5 decades of living here on earth. But, you know, for us when we were growing up, discipline meant the parent, if you're being disciplined, every object that is near their parents was used as a disciplining tool. So it's a flying shoe, a flying saucer, a belt, a shoe, anything will just come at you any moment. And so, friends from the West, you are seeing resilient people here in Africa. We've been hardened. But then later, I got to learn when I was traveling with children's choirs, but there's a better way of disciplining children. And I learned a new word that you don't beat, you spank. And I was like, what is spanking? I was like, wow, that is so cute. Because for us, discipline has to have an emotion of anger. Anger. Because when anger is not there, you don't feel you've done the good job. But thank God he has redeemed some of us. Amen. He has redeemed us. We are redeemed from being beaten to spanking. God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good. And then I traveled in the West. A couple of times I would be at the mall. Then I would see these little children having a conversation that was passionate with their parents. They are throwing tantrums and just slapping their parents. And I'm like, come to Africa, come to Africa, come to Africa. For a moment I'll get angry. I said, come on, I'm going to come and get the belt. No, okay. Both are extremes. God expects us to nurture our children through relationship. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 127, children are a gift from God. So children were conceived from the heart of the Father. And they are given to us as parents so that we can raise them through our hearts and draw them back to the heart of the Father. Children were conceived from the mind of God, from his heart. And he entrusts them with us for a season so that we can steward them and nurture them and draw them towards the heart of the Father. And so that means our discipline must be drawing that child to the heart of God. That is the aim of our parenting. Let our homes be the first discipleship rooms. Many people have relegated discipleship to the church. The first place for a child to be discipled is at home. Like the old saying goes, charity begins at home. Just imagine if we all took this seriously and we understood that this parenting responsibility is a stewardship from the Lord, and we're going to do everything at home. Imagine the kind of a godly generation we'll be raising to release into the world. It'll be a godly, transformational generation of young people. So parenting, parents, let's not provoke our children. Let's draw them towards our hearts, but also the heart of the Father. And also children, let's be obedient to our parents. Let's not be rebellious and challenge their authority. It is the only commandment that has a promise of living long. Now, when you are an adult, you are not called to obey, but you're called to honor your parents. You don't have to obey everything as an adult, But you're called to honor them. And how do you honor? You speak well of your parents. You take care of your parents in their old age. That's what honoring is. Honoring has substance. It's just not only words. So we are called to honor. And when we are children who are obedient, but also we are honoring, the Bible says, He gives us long life. Man, I can't wait for such a generation where we are raising young people who are obedient, and we become adults, they are honoring to their parents. That is a generation that is going to change our world. So when we are rooted in Christ, our parenting will always reflect the heart of our Father. And it's always nurturing. Now, the last relationship is masters and slaves. And this language is relevant for Paul's day, but if I could just extrapolate it to our day, I can say employers and employees. So he's saying, employees, obey your earthly bosses in everything with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. But I'm working for him. No, you're working for the Lord. So he's saying, have a different mindset. Wherever you are working, actually, you are serving. As a Christian, you are working through that boss to the ultimate boss, who is Jesus right here. And he says, masters, employers, provide for your employees with what is right and fair. Because you know, you also have somebody in heaven who's watching over you. And in this principle I want to bring to us today is this. Work is sacred. Did you know that? Work is sacred. God is a worker. Even before the fall of man, work was happening. God himself worked by going into the earth and forming Adam. And it's just Adam and Eve go and work the earth. Work is a beautiful thing. In fact, we express worship through our work. So we need to redeem this idea of working and being a worker to reflect God's design. So on Monday, which is tomorrow, when you wake up, you need to overcome the spirit of Monday. You know what the spirit of Monday is? Oh, here we go. Monday is here. And then you drag your feet. But when Friday shows up, it's Friday, party time. That is not the spirit of Christ. Work is sacred. Because when you are working, you are like your creator God. Because work is the expression of creative energy. That serves people and brings honor to God. And Paul is saying, every time you wake up on Monday and you sense the spirit of Monday, say, no, I'm going to express my creative energy from God to serve my people, but also serve my King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. That is what you are working for. Jesus. The gifts, the abilities, those opportunities have been given to you by God. So go in there knowing that is God's work. That is God's computer you're using. It's God's time you're spending. Human resource, those are God's people you are overseeing. And as employers, understand it is a stewardship. The people God has entrusted with you are God's people. Treat them fairly. Don't exploit them. Just imagine for a moment, we redeem these workspaces where workers know they're expressing creative energy to serve people for the glory of God. And the employers know these are people who are a stewardship. They've been given to them as a stewardship. Imagine what kind of world would happen at the workplace. Transformed. So Paul is telling us, there is a design for our relationships that we must adopt as we remain rooted in Christ. For married people, he's saying that marriage should not be a competition of wills, but a collaboration or partnership in Christ. Marriage is a partnership for serving God while we prioritize mutual care over personal gain. But also for parenting, we understand that the goal of parenting is to draw our children to the heart of the Father. And then when it comes to work, we understand that that place is a sacred place. We are worshiping the Lord and we are expressing creative energy to serve people, but also to honor Jesus Christ. Just imagine the kind of world we would live in if we all embraced these instructions that God is giving us today. Colossians 3:14 says this, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Marriage, in your marriage, let love lead the way. One another. In your parenting, let love lead the way. In your working, let love lead the way. Like he said in John 13:35, by this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. You see, when our relationships are transformed, our families, our churches, our workplaces become a living testimony of God's kingdom here on earth. Now, I would like you to reflect upon a relationship. It could be a marriage. It could be a sibling relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be a parenting relationship. Where do you sense God is leading you to apply this message? Where do you see dysfunction that actually God wants to address through this message today? I want us to reflect on that and invite God into that relationship. Some of you need to forgive as Christ has forgiven you because you're holding on to bitterness because somebody hurt you. Some of you need to go and ask for forgiveness for creating dysfunction in that relationship. Some of you need to go and change your way you lead at your place of work because now you understand it is a stewardship that God has given to you. What is God instructing you to do today? My prayer is that you receive that and actually ask God for the courage and the grace to do that. So we're going to pray about that right now. Let's bow our heads across this auditorium and ask the Holy Spirit, who is the searcher of all hearts. It's the Holy Spirit, where do you want me to apply this message? Which dysfunction in my relationships do you want me to address right now? And invite him and pray that God is going to give you the grace and the courage to follow through the instructions you are getting right now. Because rootedness in Christ and obedience to his word truly transforms our lives and our relationships. So Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. You know us. Nothing is hidden from you. Open our eyes to those areas in our lives, those places of dysfunction, those places of pain that you're inviting us to address through this message today. For those that are holding bitterness, unforgiveness in their hearts, God, I pray, give them the grace and the courage to address that and release those who have offended them and hurt them. Because forgiveness is a choice. And it's a gift that we give to those who've hurt us. Oh God, I pray that may you come into our relationships and address this dysfunction as we obey your word and follow through. God, I pray for marriages that are going through some serious challenges today. God, I pray that they will embrace your design where there's sacrificial love and respect and honor. So Holy Spirit, I pray that may you finish and enable us to live wholesome lives as we embrace your word today. While every head is still bowed down, every eye is closed, you are here saying, Pastor, pray for me today. I want to begin a journey to follow Jesus. I need his forgiveness. You acknowledge in your heart that you need to start a relationship, or you walked away and you're returning to faith. Today, I want to pray for you. You sense a tugging in your heart to surrender everything all to Jesus. I want to pray for you. If that is you, online, on air, in this room, would you lift up your hand? Let me pray for you, wherever you are. Raise your hand. Online, instructions are coming up on how you can engage with us. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you in this place. Today, surrender your heart to Jesus because he loves and he cares. Thank you. Raise your hand. God bless you. I see your hands. God bless you. Raise your hands. In this room, online, on air, write to us, connect@watodochurch.com. You matter. We are family. We'd love to get in touch with you. Let me pray for you. Now, Father, thank you so much for every person in this place that's raising their hands saying, here I am. I want to follow you. I need your forgiveness. God, I pray that may you do a work in their hearts, transform them, and may they experience the joy of knowing they are forgiven and they are children of the Most High God. I thank you. I honor you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And everybody say the big amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey!